Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 306 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strahlers, and with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
I was trying to think of like Santa Claus or something to call you. What with it being the day after Christmas as we record this right now, but it's like nothing would stick. And
you should have been like, and another jolly fat guy, Luke Cruiser.
Listen, I saw a video of me from our Christmas Eve service with a smile on my face. I'm a jolly old fat guy too. God dang. It was unsightly, man. Ugh.
That's how I feel now
with myself.
That's how I feel now when I look back at my wedding photos, because I was probably about 45 pounds heavier than I am now, which isn't a lot of weight, but it is a lot of weight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially because like I tend to gain it all, a lot of it in my face. So
So I gain mine like right in my abdomen. The problem is like you can still see my abs.
Yeah.
Which really tells you that I'm a prime candidate for heart disease, what with all that. Listen, we're not going to talk about that, though. That's not what this is for. I'm going to shut up right now is what I'm going to do. And wish I hadn't even started thinking about it. Now I'm all depressed. Well, guys, looks like that's all we got time for. But Cruiser, tell me about Christmas, man. We'll save the who got what for who got what. But tell me what you got.
Well, overall, or I'll tell you about how my experience was. I only got a few things for Christmas. So I'll talk about those. I don't care what. But overall, my Christmas was very pleasant. There was no drama. The kids were happy, and for the most part, you know, they had their moments where they get drained of their energy and they're just getting over traveling from place to place and whatever else. And luckily we only had to go to two places this year, and you know, my mom and her mom's and or her parents, and it was good. My brother and sister and I were all cordial to each other, which was nice. There was no any resentment. And we did some homemade gifts, and that went over well. And the whole process stressed me out way too much. I don't know why. I couldn't think of what I wanted to do. And then before I knew it, per usual, I had 2 days left and I had to like scramble. So
listen, it worked out. I get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it, man.
Yeah. But how was your Christmas, though? Everything good?
You know, man, it was really good. And Christmas Eve at work is the busiest of days. And last week was bonkers. We got a whole new video rig in that I ended up having to install. I really didn't know what I was doing. And I learned a whole lot about like production video switching and all that. It was wild. I wasn't expecting to have to do all that. And so just getting it done, I was like, I sure hope this is right.
I bet it was kind of thrilling though, right?
I like learning stuff like that. The thing that made it difficult was the fact that Christmas Eve was in just a few short days. We were supposed to have rehearsal for it on Thursday. And I'm in there until almost midnight on Tuesday, and then pretty late again on Wednesday. But then Thursday, Stormageddon hit, whatever they were calling it this time, with the big polar vortex and the winter freeze. And I mean, no joke, it was rough. The temperature was brutal, like a lot of wrecks, a lot of like busted pipes, a lot of all that stuff, you know. But we all survived. Thankfully, but that got rehearsal canceled, thank God. And so then I had to go up there for hours on Friday, and then Christmas Eve day came, and I'm like, well, hope everything works out. And it was a very long work day, but still, man, nothing beats Christmas for me. I love it. I love it. I love it. And it was great.
You know what I like about those high stress, got to learn something new, like really fast moments, is that the next time you do it, or have to do something like it, you feel so much better about it, the process. You know what I mean? Like, because you were pressed and slammed to get it done, that you had to figure out your own ways to make things work in a timely fashion for yourself, which may not be the actual proper way, but if it worked, it worked, you know. But like, it's just it what it does, it like the immediate alleviating of the pressure. Because if it worked well, then all of a sudden, like, you're the guy. Like, oh, well, you know how to do this now. Like, what? I didn't know. No, I don't really. It was
Let's not make this a thing.
But yeah, I like looking back on those moments as like fun, like learning opportunities to actually like learn something new. Because a lot of times, you know, they say you can't teach a dog old dog new tricks. That's just because we don't we're tired of learning shit. We're just ready to keep doing, keep our heads going, so we can, you know, make our money, eat our food, and go to sleep at night.
Yeah,
and,
I think there's yes.
And so like whenever it comes to that time where like, no, you have to like really try, it's like exhilarating in its own way, even though it's even though you probably take a year or two off your life when it happens just because of the stress, but like it's still really cool. So
the one bad thing though, you sort of hit it on the head, was like, okay, now you know how to do this, and so now you're the guy that has to do that. And I'm like, can that not be a thing? Is there any chance that we can just not have that be a thing? I would really like just overwhelmingly so appreciate it if it didn't have to be.
Well, from my end, like for one time, but it's not necessarily like the time crunch pressure. It's like a safety thing. Like they brought in this new paper cutter where I work, like this a big hydraulic mama. Like it wasn't like a, you know, like a, you know, cranking, you know, handle. This was like, you will lose things if your fingers get in there. And the guy the company who sold it to us came and set it up and told us a few things. Like, okay, here's this manual in broken translated English from China. Oh, no, I think it was Japanese, from translated over Japanese. And it's like, good luck. And I'm like, excuse me? And my boss is like, okay, well, you know, figure out what you can. We'll work it out and, you know, worry about the pressures and stuff. And I'm just like, if I don't install these blades correctly or make sure that the tension's not too high or it's being pressed down to the block too hard where the pumps don't explode, like, people can get like rods shoved through them and stuff, or have their fingers cut off, or like,
let's not talk about that.
But you know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah, dude. I totally know what you're saying.
But that, you know, they say that whole human error factor, that's what they mean.
It's sweet. Like,
well, I guess I better try to read this book as well as I can, even though it makes no sense when I'm reading it.
Oh, my gosh, dude. that hurts my brain to think about. I mean, you know, good on you. I used to work in manufacturing, and you'd get that crazy stuff where it was plainly like the translation of it was really something to be desired. It's like, I'm working on something that could easily kill someone.
Yeah. Like, can you give me it's like a little bit clearer? It's a little bit clearer. Yeah.
I've got this big hydraulic press that could just be, it is the destroyer of lives. Right here. I want to try something real quick. Let me see something. Tell me if this wrecks my whole setup. Will it let me change audio sources while we're going?
I don't know. I don't have the ability right now, so I can't tell you.
Let's find out, shall we? You butthole. I don't think it will. Dang it. It also won't let me change camera sources either. Never mind.
No on the fly for you. Zencastr is very controlling of what they let you do.
I mean, I should be able to just change my camera source right now. It shouldn't care.
It should let us have multiple camera sources. It should let us do quite a few different things that it doesn't.
It definitely should.
Yeah.
The only way to have multiple camera sources is use OBS, virtual camera, and use that as your switcher. Dang it, that sucks, because I was wanting to try a stunt. You know what? I have an idea. Uh-oh. Nope, can't do it. Never mind. No, wait, that would work, right? Would it? Nah, it's not worth it. There's no point.
All right.
Never mind. Anyway. Listen.
enjoy our production side of things.
Yeah. Congratulations, everybody. You won a prize. Yeah.
Prepare to have all kinds of hurdles constantly. Hurdles you didn't think that you would even be a thing. And they always happen, even on silly little shows like this.
Yep. So let me ask you this. Well, you know what? Actually, what I really want to do is just get right into this other thing, right? Because that is what's going to set all this up of what I was getting ready to say. And that's this little joint right here. Oh, yeah. So, my man.
Sir.
Did you get anything awesome for Christmas? Because that's what I was going to ask. Did you get everything you were hoping for?
I actually got, besides what I said, what I told you what my mom gave us and stuff. But like my wife found me, this sounds going to sound kind of like, okay, but like she got me this, a pair of Jordans, like a pair of shoes that I like. It's really difficult for some reason to buy the AJ1s, like the first Jordan shoes, like because they'll release them, and then you have to put on a waiting list to hopefully bid on them to be able to buy them.
Gosh. It's
like
this whole
stupid process. I'm like, just have three or four colors available at all times so I could just buy one. Like, quit making it a freaking lottery system. Like, I don't get it. And like, I mean, I do get it. I know what exclusivity means for things, but it's a pain in the ass. Cause reason why I love them, cause I love the way they look, but they are also the most comfortable shoe I've ever owned. And they fit my fat ass feet really well. And it's just like, it's so frustrating when I can't get a pair.
Yeah.
And, but she got me a pair that are almost exactly like the ones that I have and have worn out, but they are like one slight variation in color, but like it was really cool. And what's funny is like kind of knew she got me shoes because I was like, we had all these gifts for the nieces and nephews in the corner, and Leia knocked them all over because she knocks everything over. And I was getting under the bed to get all the stuff, and I grabbed this bag that I thought, was this a part of these? And I was like, oh wait, no, that's not, oh, there, that's a shoe box, and that's not less anything that I purchased. So I was like, oh, I probably just saw my gift there. But it was really cool. I know that's because you just don't understand the stupid struggle I go through all the time trying to get a pair of these shoes for a right decent price.
And listen, I get it, man.
Yeah, it's just dumb. But like it's like one of those things, like when you find something that works well for you, like, oh, I see it. I see another person.
Yep, there they are.
It's really cool. I liked it. But my kids got me, you know, it's funny. We end up, our kids end up picking out like similar things for us. Like it's all basically just like comfy, like stay warm, like stay chill at home stuff, you know? Like my kids got my wife like a heated blanket and a pillow and like nice comfy slippers and stuff like that. And they got me warm pajama pants and like candy and stuff. But, they really like doing that. But it was, the best part was getting to see, you know, their reactions to what we gave them, you know, and we gave Max his first big boy present, which was a Swiss Army knife.
That's cool.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what it means. I'm from man to man. Like, you know what it means when like your father gives you a knife for the first time.
Oh, sure,
like,
man.
Like it's for one, it's you saying we think you can be responsible. You know, we think you're a big boy. You're growing up, and we trust you with this. And of course, within about 3 hours of having, he slit his finger open. And I'm like, well, you know, I mean, now it's yours officially. It has tasted your blood.
Yeah, it's so. Tasted your blood. Now it has a taste for human blood, though.
So yeah. He really likes the keyboard too.
Good.
Yeah. He's been rocking out. He's like, I don't know how to play. I'm like, don't worry, we'll get there. Just feel feel it out, man. That's all I want you to do. Just play.
That's the least of your concerns, honestly.
Yeah. But what about you, buddy? What about you?
Dude, okay. So I told you I got this thing. I pre-ordered this a really long time ago. And it came in and I gave it to my wife. I said, here, just give this to me for Christmas. It is my 1/6 scale. It's like a Hot Toys, but it's unlicensed. It's this company called Limb Toys. It's Arthur Morgan from Red Dead.
Oh.
And it comes with so many accessories, man. It is wild.
Who makes it? Fantastic.
It's the brand is Limb Toys, LIMTOYS. And nice. They're from China.
Oh, yeah. It looks good.
And because it's unlicensed, he's called the Gunslinger or the Outlaw, not Arthur Morgan. But well, I was referencing him during my stream the other day going, what do you have to say about Arthur Morgan? I'm like, I need to get an Arthur Morgan cam over there. But then I'm like, well, he doesn't move. He's a toy. I'll just put a still shot up there. I mean, it doesn't matter.
No way to ever know.
Yeah. And if he does move, I got bigger problems, right?
than whether it's captured on stream.
So I got that. I got the micro fighters. Is that what they're called? Ships?
Yeah,
the Star Wars ones. Mm-hmm. I got the Millennium Falcon and I got Jango Fett's ship, and they're really cool. And I didn't realize this, but they come with these little figures that are like this that actually have articulation. So you know they're just dying to break.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're really cool. I like them. I got this Ralph Macchio book called Waxing On Life with the Karate Kid. I can't wait to read that.
Nice.
Let's see. Oh, I bought the family an Xbox Series S.
Nice.
And Stella and I broke it in playing some Fortnite, and she said it is dramatic, the difference between it and the One X.
Isn't that crazy?
The load-in time, because before, man, she wouldn't load into a match until the battle bus was, like, I was jumping off of it, and she was in. Yeah. And, like, I didn't realize it was skipping a bunch of the, like real subtle effects, like the sparkliness in the snow and everything.
Mm-hmm.
She said, oh, my gosh. And, of course, we celebrated by getting a dub while we were in there in our second round.
Nice.
And then the second place on the next one. It was very good. But kind of the big hit is I got us the Oculus 2, the Meta 2. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell you, it's pretty cool. And the battery life sucks. Uh-huh. It totally sucks.
Mm-hmm.
They make, like, you could buy a head strap for it that's got a whole battery built on the back of it for, you know, extra brain problems.
Yeah.
But it's super expensive. I would rather just get a long, skinny extension cord that I can stick in my back pocket and have it wired up to it. But everybody's really been enjoying it. And today, I got the Vader Immortal stuff.
Nice.
But I haven't played it at all yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get today, I got Zombieland Headshot is what it's called.
Cool.
And it's arcade style. Dude, it's wild. It's, I mean, it doesn't look hyper real, but you're encased. It's VR. Everything around you is your environment. And so it's like, it's real enough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm playing and laughing about it. And while I was playing, my cat comes up and stretches up and puts his legs, hands up on my thigh.
Mm-hmm.
And I like panicked and just had that controller pointing down in his face going, bam, 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 pulling the trigger a whole bunch of times. But I got it for Amanda. She loves Zombieland. And so she played it and was like, she is not a video game person.
Yeah.
She was having so much fun. And it was so good to see. Awesome. She's like screaming. I had to keep telling her, okay, I'm going to nudge you back into the middle of the floor now, because she kept backing up from him.
Yeah.
And you can stream it to the app so you can watch what the person's doing in real time and help them. If they can't figure out, here, click on this, do this, do this. It's really pretty intuitive. It's a very neat system for no more than it costs.
Yeah.
It's pretty rad. I bought the 256 gig one.
Nice.
Just so I didn't get super annoyed by it, but it still wasn't bad at all.
256 gigs. So you have to install the game on the headset.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's a fully self-contained thing.
Oh, I figured it was just controlled by the Xbox or something.
No. It's its own gaming system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's its own gaming system, completely independent of anything else. It's its own platform.
You should do some streaming with that.
There is a way, but the app kept crashing, where you can use your cell phone's camera overlay,
mm-hmm.
right? Or as an overlay, but every time I do it, it would crash. I need to look into it.
Oh, you got to put your phone into it?
Well, no, but I'm just saying what you can do you can like watch somebody, like I can video Stella playing Beat Saber, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching her play Beat Saber on my phone. I've got her view in front of me. Mm-hmm. I see what she sees, but then I can graphically overlay my cell phone's camera that's pointing at her over that. So I can see her playing it in real time. But yeah, I mean, I could do it with my regular streaming rig too. But man, that was super awesome and fun. I really, really had a good time with it, and I'm super glad that I bought it. I got a couple of other like random things. There's something really special about buying something for yourself 2 years beforehand and just finding it under the tree. It's like, oh, I'm so touched. It's very touching. But I got, you know, the big old bag of Reese's peanut butter, peanut butter M&Ms, and then the huge half pound Reese's peanut butter cups.
You need all at once, did you? Like at that one time, did you?
Oh, no. I haven't even opened either one of them.
Good call.
Thank God, dude. I am just, well, because like I said, I've got a video I want to show here in just a second of us at church from Christmas Eve. We decided at the last minute to do this TSO song.
Nice.
And a buddy of mine filmed it with his phone out in the crowd. So I'm going to try this in a little bit. But like seeing that, he sent me this thing. He's like, one of these days I'll be a rock star too. And I said, oh, I need to lose weight. He said, that was your takeaway from that? I'm like, well, I haven't watched the video yet. All I see is the thumbnail and I look like a turtle. But anyhow, so getting all that candy really made me feel good.
Yeah. Well, I'll never forget that time you had to like not do the show because you had too much fucking Reese's
cups. I ate one of those peanut butter cups and almost died.
You're just like, I'm going to go puke now.
Yeah, I did not feel good. So I got this Christmas. Remember how I was talking about how, oh, that's the Star Wars guy. Get him, that thing says Star Wars on it. Just get that for him. I got this Yoda. It was supposed to be Baby Yoda, I think, but it sure looks like more like Yoda wearing a sock hat or wearing a Santa hat. And he's got weighted feet and he stands probably 18 inches tall or so. And he's kind of plush. I'm like, neat. Thanks.
I had that too with my brother. I mean, you know, but with my brother and sisters, they spread it out to like my kids. Even they were like, they got us your like Hobby Lobby type stuff. Like they got the Baby Yoda pancake flipper and the Baby Yoda waffle maker and like
nice.
And my brother got me a like a Star Wars logo, like LED, like little thing that stands by itself. You can light up and whatever else.
Excellent.
It's just a logo. I'm like, oh, that's cool, man. Maybe I'll put it in the stream one day. And it's, you know, it's just white letters, but you know, it's fine. It's cool. Yeah. But I'm like, I made sure to like tell people when I was there. I'm like, just so you know, like I sold like 3/4 of my Star Wars collection, just so you know. Like I just, It was a cleansing period for me in my life. I've not worn a Star Wars shirt in quite a while. And I'm not saying I'm done with them. I'm just, you know, doing other things.
So another thing I got, and it's actually very cool. Mm-hmm. Some friends got it for me. It's this round. I wish I had it down here, but it's upstairs. It's a circle. It's made out of wood. And what it is it's laser etched. So I suspect what they did is the entire thing was painted black. Mm-hmm. Then they laser etched it. And it's got these really cool designs. It's like not like movie accurate depictions of the characters. It's more stylized.
Yeah,
it's really neat, man. It's really, really cool. I dig it for
can
sure.
I ask you a like my wife and I were talking about like the, like, you know how, like, it always seems like whenever you go, like, for Christmas or whatever, especially if you go multiple places, like, like you're very grateful for everything that everybody gives you. But, like, when you get home and it's all there, including the stuff that, like, you purchased and, like, everything else, like, you have, like, that overwhelming moment of, like, this is too much stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just like, even if it's not like a lot of stuff, it's just because it's so much new stuff, even if it's a few things at once, it's just like, we were already like at capacity with the things we have here.
And that's what I was going to say. You already are at a point leading up to that where you're like, we've got too much stuff. I don't know where I'm going to put this. And now you got more stuff.
Yeah. And like, and that sounds ungrateful, but that's not what it is. Like, it's not that at all. Like, I'm very appreciative when people give me gifts.
Absolutely. Same. Yeah.
Yeah. And I truly mean it, you know, but it's just that, like, you just the realization, like, now I have to put these things somewhere and I have to carry it with me when I go somewhere else. And like, you know, and it's that whole thing. And I got my wife went on this thing where she's like, I'm just like, I'm really starting just like, despise Christmas, like not like as like the holiday, but just like the commercialism of it all, you know? Mm-hmm. And like she's like, but it's so much. I was like, you know what we should do, like just for our family? Like, we'll get our kids their stuff, but within my mom's circle and within my, you know, your parents' circle, we should like agree to all pool like a certain amount of money. Like say like $20 or $15 whatever per person, uh-huh. and then buy each person who, you know, decide on like one nice gift for each person instead of like 20, like, you know, 15 little things, most of which will get thrown away. You know what I mean?
Do you think
we're like too far gone with that idea? You know what I mean? Like the
that's tough, man. Because like my dad and my mom both are very generous people.
Yeah,
and what they like to do is give us money.
Yeah,
and you know what? I'll take it.
Yeah, that's different. That is completely different. But stuff is
more of a thing.
Yeah. And I don't know, like you really start to feel like the excess of it all sometimes. Mm-hmm. But like I'm very grateful. I think a good idea would be just like, you know, let's and instead of doing the Secret Santa, which is fun too, like just like we'll all put in this much money and then we'll just divide it between all these people, and then people who are not getting that gift will decide what to get that person. It could be funny, it could be cool, it could be, you know what I mean?
And
make Christmas memorable.
Well, so that's basically all I got. But it was some good stuff. All right. Especially getting that win with Stella and Fortnite. But real quick, before we quit talking about Christmas, I'm going to see if this is going to work, right? I'm going to play this video from our Christmas Eve service. And we'll see. I don't know if it's going to work or not. So we'll quickly find out. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
Oh. You just tricked Zencaster.
That run was really fast. Shred. Here comes another one right here. Now. Now watch this move. I pull my pick hand away for this.
Oh yeah. All right then.
Anyway, this is like my favorite TSO song there is to play. And I'm glad that if we were going to do it, that I got a chance to do this one, you know?
What's cool?
Hang on. It's almost going to wrap up here.
No. Keep digging in.
It's so cool how, like, compressed and crappy it sounds, thanks to Zencaster.
Yeah. Yeah, just send me the actual video, and I'll put it there.
I will.
Yeah.
Anyway, there it is, man. Nice. There it is. Let me boot that extra one. What I did is I incognito windowed the thing and used an OBS virtual camera. And
wow.
Gone.
On the fly, making things happen.
Yeah. but anyhow, that was cool. It's a big part of Christmas for me. You know, Christmas has always been about music and all of that stuff between my job and the TSO thing and all that. And I don't know, it was really cool. We weren't going to do that. We weren't going to have a TSO song in the service. We weren't. But then the thing that was going to be kind of our opener, the person had to bail on it. And so like, well, what's one like a big thing that we could probably pull out of our hats? It's like Eric could probably play some ripping ass lead guitar on this thing. And so we did. And we had to use tracks for like rhythm guitar and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a recording from 2012 of my band that I had done a multi-track recording of. And it's funny because I was like listening to the bass. It's like, man, that is like spot on. And the guy who played bass that year, and I'm like, oh, wait, I recognize why it's spot on because I redid all of his bass parts in post. On his bass. I'm like, I need you to loan it to me because I'm going to recreate it exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, good times, man.
I bet I felt good for him. He's like, you're saying that mine's my recording is no good?
Okay. No, I just told him I need to punch in a couple things and then redid the whole song. But let's face it, he probably deep in his heart, he knew right here.
He's like, wait, I'm not that good at all.
Yeah. But I asked you to play in the show because you were all I had. You're my silver medal. Okay, so anyhow.
Like bronze.
Yeah. Well, while we're talking about Star Wars, okay, there's some rumors out there about the Damon Lindelof movie. It's beginning filming and all kinds of other stuff, possible Hera casting.
Yeah,
for the Ahsoka series, but none of it's confirmed. But if you want to see it, get bestfilmbulletin.com. That's where you go, okay? That's where you go check it out. We're not going to get into it. That's not really what Cruiser and I do now. Mm. But I just, for informational purposes, there it is, all right?
Yeah.
One nice thing I will say is like a lot of, and you should, if I'm doing the math right, still have time to hit this. Since one of our many loves is video games and, you know, Star Wars as well. Places like Steam, stuff like that, have some pretty decent games bundled hardcore deep discount. Mm-hmm. Stuff. And, you know, like stupidly on Steam, I bought Jedi Fallen Order Deluxe Edition just in case I ever decide to play it on PC, if I ever have a PC, just because I know the graphic upscale will be so much better. Mm-hmm. It was $6 and something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how do you pass that up? So for $17, you can have Squadrons, that, and Battlefront 2 Celebration Edition, which was the big one, the one with all the stuff. But yeah, go out and grab some of that, because if you're only casually into games and you have something that'll run it, for that price, just get it. That's a fun Saturday afternoon. I don't have anything else going on. Maybe you'll never play it again, but it was less than $20.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think like a lot of the games, like the deals they have sometimes are cheaper than what it would have been to have rented it back in the day. So it's like, you know, sometimes you'd rent a game, you rent a new game for 4 days and it'll cost you like $8. You know what I mean? So like, you know, which isn't that big of a deal, but like it's still like when you could just buy it.
Right.
You know, And like you don't have to store it. You just basically if you go to Steam or something like that, you just say, yeah, I purchased it. You can download whenever you want. And that's what I did because I've been like there's a lot of PlayStation games that I was bummed out that I didn't get to play because of going to Xbox and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And they've now been releasing some of the games that came out on the PS4 that I didn't play. And they have like these much better remastered versions of them that have come out, and they run like crazy on PC. And the one I've been playing recently has been Days Gone, and it's like it was one of those games that would come out on PlayStation that kind of got like shit on a little bit. I don't know why. Like, I think it's because when it came out. Because it kind of came out like, I'm like 3 years probably after The Last of Us, and it was probably a little too similar in ways, and it's kind of like if you mixed Red Dead Redemption and The Last of Us and kind of made like this, and then put it in post apocalyptic like Pacific Northwest, which is kind of a cool setting if I'm honest.
It is,
yeah, and especially for this. And the story so far has been really intriguing. But I tell you what, man, that Sam Witwer can't help but just play this extremely angry, loud person all the time. And this character that I'm playing, like this is like a, this is like a zombie apocalypse type deal, but you know, and but it's which, you know, it may some could say is a tired genre, but like I think there's still creative ways to tell stories in those worlds, you know, just because it's all about what would you do if this was you, you know, and these kind of things. And but he has a vendetta against the zombies, and so there's like there's these things called nests where like a whole bunch though they kind of like get grouped together and like and you can burn them with Molotovs and stuff. And he gets so like amped up when you're getting near a nest. He's like, oh, gotta burn it. Like, you know how Whitworth sounds, right? Just imagine all that Darth Maul shit and he's talking to himself and stuff like that. That's what it sounds like. And he's just like, oh, don't worry. I'll be back Jeez. For you. I'm like, chill out, Sam. Like, for real.
Yeah, that's, I don't know that that's my bag.
But he's not like that the whole way. It's just whenever he gets, like, close to those nests. Like I think it's just, like, their way of saying, hey, there's one close. This guy's got a vendetta, and he, like, literally gets a half chub when he sees one because he knows he's going to watch it burn. You know what I mean? But it's really fun. I've been playing it on stream. And what tends to happen with me when I play these games I've never played before, they've been out for a while, is I'll start playing it and they'll see like how early I am in the game. It's just like first playthrough. I'd be like, oh, you're new to this game. Like, what are you trying to say? I'm like, have you beat this game? And they have this long list, like ready to go, explanation of all the things they've achieved in this game. Like, yeah, I beat it. I 100%ed it. I beat it on all the different difficulties, even the hardest, the hardcore one where you get no map and you get no indication of where you're supposed to go ever. I'm like, that sounds like no fun at all, if I'm honest. I'm not trying to live this life. I just want to play the game, if I'm honest. Right. But they're always helpful, but they come in like hot with like all their like, you gotta do this. And I'm like, thanks, pal. I keep waiting for someone to do that. Has anybody dared do that to you when you're playing Red Dead yet? I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I've done everything.
That's what I'm saying. You're like, I know. I understand what you're about to say here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because I 100%ed Red Dead in-game. Not all the console achievements, because some of them are just ludicrous. I mean, literally, there's a couple of the achievements that say like 0.002% of gamers have gotten this. Yeah. But so to me, that's not important. But like, and then Red Dead Online, I'm level 600 and something, which is stupid. It's stupid. Just to be honest with you. Been having a lot of fun with it though. I had a thing, man. I was at the end of my stream yesterday, I guess it was. I'm rolling along. I said, well, I'll just ride my horse back to the camp just in case something happens on the way that's interesting. And some low-level scrub ends up just shooting me as I roll into this town. And I'm like, is this really what we're going to do?
They never learn.
So I respawned and came after him. They weren't too far away. Couldn't get my horse
coming.
So
they killed you.
Huh?
They killed you first.
They'd already killed me, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I am not a griefer, man. That is not my bag. So anyway, I go and just run them down on foot, find them. I can hear one of the NPCs complaining about them. The guy's shooting at me. I just start zigzagging and I hog tie him. Because that's my deal, man. I could just easily get them and just spawn kill them over and over and over again, which is, I do that. I'm pretty vindictive when somebody's the butthole. If I get this guy tied up, he manages to struggle out of it. I knock him down again and tie him back up and then just start shooting him in spots where I know it's going to stop him from being able to break out, but not enough to just quite kill him. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I blast him in the head. You know what he does? Leaves the game.
Oh, nice.
And I was so offended by that. I said, so in case you guys were wondering, if this is what makes you a punk-ass bitch right here. That's what you do. You come in, you start something, and then you bail, and you start crying, and you leave. Because I went as far as to see if they were still playing, but in another session, and I was going to hop sessions. And I was like, why is this bothering me so much?
It's just because when you spend so much time on a game, and it becomes like this like secondary like little tiny life you're leading, like you kind of like... you're like, well, I see we don't know who we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
And I guess it needs to be rectified.
You're not going to roll around in my neighborhood with that trash. Yeah, I don't know.
These streets. We know that, but
it made me mad. So I killed him. But yeah, that's so annoying to me. That's about the only thing I have happen in Red Dead. Typically what I get in Red Dead is people who send me posse requests because I'm such a high level. They just assume that I'll come in and just mop up for them. Mm. That's not what I'm there for. I'm just there to have a good time. That's it.
Well, I sent the clip to you today, but it's been a long time since I've been like seriously jump scared in a game. I think the last time I got jump scared was during my first time I played The Last of Us like 7 years ago, right? And because there's some moments with clickers that are very scary. And it wasn't even something that was that scary. It was just startling and unexpected. And I said it to you, like, I'm like just rolling up to this bluff looking for this nest. And you hear me talk about it. Like, I was right. It's right up here. And I get off my bike and I turn around and this wolf comes out of nowhere and attacks me from the back.
Yeah.
I just audibly like I but thank God for noise gates and whatever else, because like I screamed, like I yelled very loud.
Yeah, your compressor clamped it down pretty good.
Oh yeah, and I said shit like this, and I was like, I guarantee I woke up the entire house, and luckily I did not. And I showed my wife later. I said, did you hear me scream shit last night about 1:30 in the morning? And she was like, I don't know. I said, well, watch this. And she goes, wait, yeah, I remember this very loud yell all of a sudden in the middle of the night. But like, I mean, what's funny, when I was telling you that story earlier, you're like, you were literally getting eaten by wolves as it happened on Red Dead.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Wolves, man. What are you going to do? Right now is the Christmas update in lots of online games.
Yeah.
Red Dead, Fortnite, and it's all been a really good time. I've been playing some Red Dead with a friend of the show, David Strutt, and man, I tell you what, I forgot how much I missed doing that with him and with our friend Trey, who's just we haven't been able to link up with. But you two dudes, man, I would love to. The winter update's still here for another week or so. We got to hit it. But
yeah, and that kind of stuff is just, you know, they're like, I like playing single player games, you know, and streaming them and stuff. But like, there's sometimes it's fun to just like, it's really good just to get in there with some friends and like play like a multiplayer game or something. You know,
yeah.
The problem is, you know, like the only game that I don't feel ground down by multiplayer right now is Fortnite, and it's getting borderline because.
Oh, really?
Well, and it's just because it's. There's no like, there's no relaxing anymore while playing it anymore, like at all. Like, there's no like I said, the only way that I can make it more enjoyable for and more competitive for Max to be able to play it is literally to let myself die in early, like without killing anybody over and over again for multiple matches to get my SBMM back down again.
Oh, because.
Because and the problem is that Max is pretty good too. He's a really good assisting. Like he's like a shadow of me when we play, and he just follows me wherever I go. So he's really good, like shooting the same guy at the same time as me. He's not so quick on determining there's another person behind him right now shooting him from the other direction. While he's focusing on this other person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, there's this guy behind you who's a lot closer. And he's going to kill you a lot faster if you don't. And
Yeah.
Oh, Lucas Maxwell got himself 5,000 V-Bucks for Christmas too.
Oh, nice, man. Somebody's feeling generous.
And I thought he was going to just go hog wild. No, he just bought, I'm telling you, he just bought a Gundam Style.
Me too.
Yeah, it's back in the store. Yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing he bought. He had 5,350 credits because of like other ones, and so he's like, I spent 500. I got 4,000. I'm like, okay, I guess wait till you really want something. I guess.
And good.
I
figured he'd just
blow through it. I buy these three guys and I'm done. You know, but
You know, my kids, so like with Stella, she does, you know, the bedtime story things we've been doing. Yeah. Uh-huh. I pay her. It's mm-hmm. it's a shame that I have to, but I do. I pay her money to do them, and she gets essentially $5 per story, and I do it to be nice. Well, she decided this time that she wanted V-Bucks instead of whatever else it was she was getting. And naturally, it's such a scam.
Yeah.
That the way it works is on, like, what I should have done was gifted her the V-Bucks. Mm-hmm. But what I did instead was put money in her Microsoft account. And it goes $5, $10, $15, $25 is the next one. Like, what? Where was 20? Because that's all she's supposed to get. So it's like, dang you, Microsoft. Why you got to be like that, man? But yeah, she actually didn't go crazy either. She won't buy any Star Wars stuff. Henry said, yeah. Oh, that's right. You don't like Star Wars. She goes, no, it's not that. But every time I hear her say about something I like, I just go blind with rage. It's like, you did. No, you did not.
You know how you and Stella walk around and, you know, play in your matching girl outfits, you know, but one of you has got dark hair, one's got blonde hair. But yeah, Max and I asked me today if I'd be the silver pumpkin head man with them. So we are running around as two silver-headed pumpkin guys and getting our asses handed to us. I got like 10 kills one game. We got to like the last four, and I just ego challenged one dude too much, and he just got and he got the headshot at last that I didn't get, and then I was like, Max, he's so close, and then his partner comes up and kicks him from the back. I'm like, no,
that dude, yeah. That's the one of the things too that, like, I realize as a grown up, I should be past getting so blind mad.
Yeah,
but yeah. I can't. I'll ego challenge somebody, be like, oh man, I got him on the ropes. Next thing you know, I'm dead. And I told Stella we got caught by somebody up on a ledge with. It turns out they had a legendary red eye assault rifle, so it had some range on it, and like we were like bound and determined we're gonna kill this guy, and what he did was kill both of us. And I'm like, well, that was dumb. Let me tell you where our mistake was. But yeah, dude, anyway, sorry for the people who aren't into video games. I got some bad news for you. We love video games.
Yep, big part of our life right now.
Yeah, at some point this show will be nothing but us playing video games and talking. As we record, just killed several birds.
Yeah, that's the casual transition to this. It's just us talking about bullshit while we're playing video games together.
Yeah, we figured, you know what? We'll just bullshit our way through the shows to the point where we become numb to it.
Yeah.
It's just a natural, logical extension.
And because people are creatures of habit, they just keep, you know, just going along with it. You know, I feel you. I do it too.
Yeah. So, speaking of creatures of habit, man. I don't know. This is a terrible segue. It's the best thing I could think of. Bad Batch is going to be here before we know it.
Oh, yeah. Like in like a week, right?
Yeah. And we get two episodes on day one.
That'll be next Tuesday?
Hang on. Let me
look at it. Wednesday, probably.
Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a 31st. Yeah.
So, yeah. We'll get two episodes on that Wednesday. And unfortunately, for the Sith list, I have to work that night. We have a church service the first Wednesday of every month. So it's like balls. Will I be able to have time to watch both episodes before I go to work? I probably will. I will. What am I saying? Of course I will.
I'll find time. I'll make
it. Yeah, I'll figure it out. Or I'll get to the work and say, oh, I've got a conference call, and just shut my door and put headphones on and watch them. little insider secret there. But I'm really looking forward to that show. Are you guys looking forward to it at home?
Bad Batch, not much discussion about it. Because I could watch it with them, but right now, if it's not Teen Titans Go or some random bullshit YouTube, they don't give a shit. They don't give a shit. Because like I don't know what part of the brain because there's an army of these Twitter, not these YouTube dudes who do video game things, usually Minecraft, and they just have this system down that just keeps children's attention like it's going out of style.
Who's somebody that your kids watch that you think my kids might watch? Or not, Stella doesn't do that anymore. But
Preston. Unspeakable.
That doesn't sound familiar.
There's a father and son duo he watches sometimes where he says, it's not on YouTube. I'm like, yeah, but it's a YouTube channel. I'm not stupid. I know what's happening.
Who
it'll
is
like,
it?
It'll be like on Roku or something. I don't know who it is. But so, it's usually, he usually watches this dude named Preston.
Yeah, Henry's watched that guy. He also watches Beck Bro Jack.
That's what you talk about, Beck Bro Jack. Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy's good at what he does. It's just that what he does annoys me to no end.
It's grating on the soul.
But yeah. He's made millions of dollars doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I can't blame them what they do, but I think of like, you know, it's hard for me to reconcile what a person can do, you know? Like, say when you do your job every day and just like say you have a regular job, not even what you're, because your job is kind of beyond what I would call a regular job. Like it has regular job elements, but it's a performative and there's all this thing to it, right?
Right. Yeah. It's definitely not your,
it's not your standard thing. 9 to 5, right? Right. So like you do your standard 9 to 5, you get in your rotation, you just kind of go about your life and you do whatever else, right? When you're a content creator like these YouTube guys and they're literally making basically the same thing in different iterations over and over again, like releasing multiple videos every week and this really hyped up attitude. They're fantastic at keeping their voice. Like it's like they have just an auto regulator of their voice for how low the volume is allowed to go. And I don't mean like software. I mean, just they have control over it. They've done it so many times. They know what level they have to keep everything at and how high they can go and expressions to make the whole time while they're doing it. And I'm just like, are you just racing to see how many millions you can get before you can literally not make yourself do this anymore? You know what I mean?
Right.
Because there's got to be a certain point where you're like, there's no way any of these guys still enjoy Minecraft. There's no way. They literally have to be doing it just because of the content. Because they had, most of them have been playing it since they were like 8 years old.
Right. Yeah.
And here they are now in their early 20s. Well, and
here's one of the big scams, man. Because, you know, like something that we used to do on the show that I really enjoyed doing was doing like a watch through.
Oh, I miss that.
And, you know, now we don't do them because after the whole copyright strike thing, we're like, no chance is taken here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it also gave us a little more room to not have any focused discussion on the show and just talk about whatever.
Who needs focus?
It was making the shows really long, though.
Yeah.
We were on the regular having 3-hour episodes.
Yeah.
But this guy, Beck Bro Jack, and all these other guys do it. They start doing reaction videos to each other's videos.
Oh, yeah.
So now your content is watching somebody else's content and you go, oh my gosh, look at this. And somehow in the monetization process, you get all the money.
Neat. Unless they track a claim against your video.
Yeah.
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 I mean, like, do you have any idea how immensely popular or much more popular we would be if we did YouTube channels and we did half of our show was reaction videos? Do you have any idea? People would watch it all the time. They love watching people react to stupid shit. I don't understand why it's the thing, but it is the thing.
I don't know what that's about.
It's like giving like you this feeling of connecting with somebody who's hearing the same thing as you at the same time. It's like it's some kind of connective thing. Like it's like watching that lady who does a really good job, that voice coach who reacts to hearing song for the first time.
Yeah.
She does a really good job of explaining what she's talking about, and she, you know, she's very expressive in her face and all the other stuff. I mean, these are all similar traits to what these dudes are doing. It's just in a different way, and it's, you know, maybe not as loud and in your face, like a 1995 commercial you see on Nickelodeon, but for 45 minutes. but that makes it more compelling to see her there talking about what she's seen, pausing it, taking time to talk about it. Like, it's all this it's, I don't know. It's regurgitated content is what it is. But well, like
in all of her episodes, I love her. It's the cultured something, something.
Yeah.
She is very knowledgeable. She's got a very good speaking voice. She's very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But all the videos are the same.
Yeah.
They're all the same. Also, her excitement for it.
Yeah.
It comes across as genuine, but it's pretty manufactured.
Oh, yeah.
Because it has to be.
Yeah.
And she needs her videos to be a certain length. So she spends way too much time over like a small piece of it, which I mean, that's just par for the course. That's just what you do when you're going to make content. That's what you do. But it gets to be a lot because I'm genuinely interested in what she has to say about something completely off the wall, like the pick of destiny or what was the like the big main song from the pick of destiny?
Was it Beelzebub? Is that what it was called?
No, this is the one that had Dio at the beginning. It's at the very beginning.
Oh, Kickapoo.
Her reaction to that was pretty good. Yeah. She was blown away at like Jack Black's vocal ability.
Yeah.
And just like, but she talks about the technique and stuff.
Speaking of that song, really quick, if we can, that song is really fucking good. And it's like, and I understand it's a filthy song, lots of like really, you know, bad words in it and whatever else, but like, the vocal talent in that song is off the charts. Like Jack Black is an incredible vocal artist. Oh, but then you have Meatloaf and Dio in there. Dio, like get the fuck out of here. Like it was so good.
God rest both of their souls.
Oh man, that's sad. Yeah, but like I think that's one thing. I think maybe younger generations kind of forgot that like or didn't know that this guy they've seen in some movies like Fight Club or something else, Meatloaf, knew he was a singer.
Mm-hmm.
But like he used to be a gigantic star. And like he was like
an icon. Yeah.
Yeah. And like it's just so funny because he had the second part of his career where he was like really not focusing on that and he wanted to be an actor. And they had to kind of like beg him to do that thing for Pick a Destiny, not because it was ridiculous. He's minding ridiculous things, but he just like, I don't really want to be a singer. And like, you know,
right.
He's like, come on, man, just this one little thing. You get to act and sing at the same time, you know, it'd be cool. And yeah.
He did a great job on that. I tell you, one of the, like just listening to that song is amazing.
Yeah.
But watching it in the movie and it's the young Jack Black.
Yeah.
That's the kid that like steals the whole scene because I mean, my God, he acts just like him.
Yeah.
Everything about that kid's performance. And he's from that one movie. Oh God. It's the movie that had Owen Wilson and he lies about who he is. Like he's this like operative and he's teaching all these kids how to stop being bullied.
I know
that kid
saying,
was in that movie.
I can't. Regardless. I know what you're saying. What was it?
Regardless, I can't remember what the name of it is. It doesn't matter. But anyway, so let's just clear the table here and keep plowing on. I understand we never did talk about you finished watching the series Wednesday on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I realize this is the wrong holiday we're talking about in relation to the one we just passed, but it's, you know, it's something to talk about. What do you think of it overall?
I thought it was really good. Like I was surprised because it's very, it's got quite a few like typical teeny bopper elements to it, but which usually turn me off to things, you know, like I can get it sometimes, but sometimes I was like, okay, whatever. But like Wednesday is so callous that it kind of just like, that kind of stuff rubs off, like runs off of her, you know, which is kind of cool to see somebody be like, I'm not going to give in to all these other things, you know, but then she became kind of realized she was too much of an asshole.
Right.
Switched around a little bit, but I called who that monster was the first time we saw that he went back to a human. Like they were like, that it wasn't just a monster. It was a monster that transformed. And I saw the footprints. I was like, oh, it's that dude. It's the coffee dude. It's him.
One thing, and that's who I was leaning toward too, just because he seemed like the odd man out. It's like they need some form of twist here. This is all too easy.
Yeah.
But my take on the end, I felt like every last, her being wrong about every last element of the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's not a twist. That's just, it got lazy.
Yeah.
From a writing standpoint, but I still enjoyed it immensely. Please don't misunderstand me. But it was very, it felt very lazy, that turn at the end.
Yeah.
They executed it well.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was particularly clever because she was literally wrong about every last thing in that.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's things, but yeah. I mean, she figured out a lot of things, but it also, but that was the whole lesson, right? Was that you can't just like walk over and use people to get what you think is the right result, you know?
Right.
And
because real people are getting hurt in this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like literally killed and like, you know, or almost killed. And yeah, but I really like you kind of saw it coming that her friend was going to werewolf out at that time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's like making out with her boyfriend, her claws are coming out. Like, oh, there's a red blood moon tonight, you know?
And, yeah.
And then they go out for a walk and that dude's out there. And yeah, I saw that come. But it was cool, though. It was cool when it happened. And like, you know, that whole fight between her and the hide and all that stuff. It was pretty cool. I did fall for the thing that the master was the therapist at first, though.
Me too. Yeah. Because they did a real good job of having every single sign point to it.
Yeah. My wife thought that she might have been the monster at first.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like it had to be somebody outside the school. Because like, if you think about it, like, if it was somebody in the school, they would have already known what they were. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Good. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And, I thought that the therapist was going to be the master.
Yeah.
But then it turning out to be who it was. Listen, people, the show's been on Netflix forever. Spoiler alert time.
Yeah.
But having Christina Ricci's character be the one, I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I love seeing her get to turn the her own Jekyll and Hyde moment, you know? Like going from the sweet, innocent little teacher who just wants to help out Wednesday to being like, I'm going to literally stab you and give your blood to my dead
Quaker Oats Pilgrim guy.
Yeah. And when he came out and told her to shut up when she was groveling toward him, I'll cut out your tongue, you wench.
Yeah. God, never meet your heroes.
Yeah, that was great.
That was funny. One thing that impressed me about the show is that all the visuals were on point.
Yeah.
And they made a point to make like the hide borderline cartoonishly ridiculous so that the effect of the transformations didn't hurt the quality of the show.
Yeah.
But everything else looked great.
Yeah.
I was very pleased by it. I thought everybody did great in their roles. There weren't any dud actors in the whole thing.
No, I felt like the guy who ended up being the hide, I think he played, or maybe it was the director's decision, but I feel like they played him a little too meek. You know what I mean? Like whenever he would like he turned around and was there for a lot of things, you know, when they were, he was always just really, like his demeanor was always very, very soft.
Right.
And like, he never really quite turned it on until he became a monster, you know?
Well, and I think that's part of the whole thing with, he's a hide. It's like a Jekyll and Hyde situation where it's a complete polar opposite. Kind of thing. But anyway, so go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you what you thought of, oh my God, what's his name? The dude that played Uncle Fester.
Oh,
I forgot his freaking name from SNL. His name escapes. He's done a lot of stuff with Bill Hader.
Hold on. Oh God. Oh, Portlandia. Got like ran for public office.
Did he?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
I can't think of his name, man.
Let me get this 1 second, I'll figure it out.
Okay.
It's the cast.
While you're looking that up, I'm going to talk about Gwendolyn Christie.
Fred Armisen.
Yeah, that's it. I thought she was amazing, mm-hmm. Gwendolyn Christie. I think that she looked beautiful. And she mm-hmm. even said that this was one of the only times she's ever felt like beautiful in her life.
Oh, she was very like fierce, but yeah. yet kind.
Yeah, I really liked her.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked her a lot.
Yeah, it was a shame yeah. that she had to go. I thought she would. I was hoping she'd make it through the whole deal.
So what did you think of Uncle Fester? Where were you going with that?
Well, it's like, for me, like, Christopher Lloyd just makes everything he's ever done like an iconic character mm-hmm. because he's so different than anybody else that I think Fred Armisen did it a good job because he didn't try to emulate what Christopher Lloyd did.
Yeah, because you can't be him.
No.
You can't be him if you're not him.
No, because he just had such a way that he played that role in every mm-hmm. role he plays. He's very, it's Christopher Lloyd and nobody else can do that.
Right.
And it's just like nobody else can be Jim Carrey. It's just not quite how it works.
God, I wouldn't want him to be.
What? You don't like Jim Carrey?
Said I wouldn't want, he's okay, man. But after a while, it's like the whole Ace Ventura, it was just too much.
No, I agree with you. But I am also saying that that's very definitively you know who he is. You know True. What I mean? Like he's got a, whether you like him or not, he's iconic in his own way.
Yeah, that's okay. You're right.
Yeah. And you know, but I feel like he did a good job and I like their dynamic, him and Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Like they had a really good, very good uncle, niece dynamic. And the whole thing with, he kept trying to eat the hibernating bees and stuff. That was yeah. funny. He's basically just like an international criminal, which I think is pretty common with Fester's story. But he just like steals stuff and whatever. I thought it was really good. And I liked that they didn't overuse him. But I will tell you what this show did for me was to reaffirm the real star of the Addams Family is Thing. That is the real star.
Yeah.
Because the fact that they were able to get emotion out of a cut off hand baffles me. Like you felt when he got stabbed,
uh-huh.
put against the wall, you're like, no, nothing. You yeah. better save that fucking cut off hand. Yeah. I don't care what you got to do.
Yeah, that is pretty wild when you think about it.
Yeah.
I do hope that there will be another season.
Yeah.
I really would be shocked if there weren't.
Uh-huh.
I thought Jenna Ortega was great as Wednesday.
Yeah.
Her facial expressions yeah. for that, it was just perfect.
What do you think about, like, how'd you feel about the little story they told about her parents when they were there? Like, I thought that was fun.
Yeah, that was whole, neat. I thought that yeah, was that whole cool.
dynamic and how romantic Gomez was in his, went to jail for her and everything, ended up getting out, but like uh-huh. took the fall for that guy's murder and everything else. And it was really cool.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
it's good. Hopefully there'll be another one. I mean, it's not like I'm plugged into that fandom where I can tell you, oh, I've heard a definitive thing. And I suspect there will be.
Yeah, I do too. And it probably won't be as good. It's just one of those things. Like, I'm glad I got to see this first season.
Right.
And I'm not going to be in a rush to see the second. Ooh, like, right. I just feel like it's just one of those things. It was a fun cultural moment. We were like, mm-hmm. we were watching it and stuff. And it was just nice where something was good all the way through, you know?
You see Avatar 2 yet?
Nope.
Same.
Nope. It's almost made $1 billion worldwide though, 3 weeks.
Well, good on old Jim. Appreciate yeah. that he's able to do that, but yeah. I'll see it eventually. Probably not in the theater. It's not a priority at all.
I would like to take Max to a 3D showing of it just because mm-hmm. it would be fun. But I don't want to deal with the guilt of not taking the other kids to it or the repercussions of taking them to that. You know yeah. what I mean? I mean, you can't win there.
No, that's a tough one, man.
Yeah.
Anybody who's had kids. So we were recording the Bluey podcast today, some episodes mm-hmm. of it. And one of the episodes we did was the first season, episode 14, I think, called Takeaway, where they mm-hmm. go to this takeout place to pick up mm-hmm. Chinese. And I said that this should be required viewing for anybody that's getting ready to have kids, that wants to see what it's like, because literally everything goes from being great to just this landslide of one problem after another. And now this kid's got to pee and this kid's got this going on. And this kid's freaking out while this kid's got this other thing. But hold on a minute, you need something back in the store. But then this other thing's happening over here. And that is what happens when you try to take kids to the movies.
Yeah.
Because your kids are at an age where if one of them has to go to the bathroom, you are super uncomfortable leaving any of them sitting in there by themselves.
Yeah.
So then you got to get them all up there. Well, it's like, well, crap. What about our drinks and food? Do we trust them sitting here? I don't really want to take all this into the bathroom. Nothing like eating bathroom popcorn, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just a thing. And then inevitably, as soon as you get sat down, another one of them's going to need something. And it's just this anxiety-inducing chore checklist to do something like that.
Yeah, that's one thing I've always – that's why I've always been gun-shy about going with the girls, especially – you know, Lily's not ready yet, but Leia probably is, but it would still be questionable. But Max has always been like my ride or die guy when it comes to that kind of thing. Like even at a young age, was able to sit through the whole thing and just like maybe have to pee once. But he's just a natural at sitting still and watching a movie and like and which is but I understand when people bring like little kids to a movie and like being like, oh, please be good kids. Don't be loud. And when you think that, but really they're just being kids. They literally don't have the social construct that we have built up over time and everything else. And they're just like, why can't I talk now? I don't understand why I can't talk. Right. We're just watching a movie. Why would we talk? We watch movies at home. Like, well, we prefer if you didn't, but you keep doing it.
Yeah, you're just not getting the hint. Boy, I feel like we've made it pretty clear.
Well, in a minute ago, you were talking about how like it goes from like everything's great to the worst day ever, like just like that half the time. We were having a really bad day with Leia, like multiple days in a row. She's getting very, very dramatic and like she's just having these like, you know, it's the worst thing ever. You guys don't care about me, blah, 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 blah. You don't even love me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Where do you get that from? No, you can't have popcorn. And my brother-in-law came in today and he's got a daughter that's pretty close to the same age as Leia. Like she's like, I think she might be five, possibly six. And she comes in and she's just like distraught walking in the door. And he had gotten to tone her no for something. We caught her calmed down. And like a little bit later, she kept trying to steal her brother's toy. They just opened for Christmas. And he's like, you need to let that go. It's his. You can play with it later when he's done playing, but he just got it. He just opened it. And she turns and she goes, you don't even love me. You're always saying I can't do things. And he's just like, and just kind of turned around and walked the other way. Just like, what can you do? Like, kids are just not rational. They immediately take as you saying no is like, I can't believe you would tell me no. I thought you loved me.
In another episode of Bluey that we watched today, Bandit's trying to explain to the girls, or to Bluey, he said, we're dogs. We're in a pack.
Yeah.
And everybody's got their place in a pack.
Yeah.
Let me show you. And he stacks up these four rocks, biggest one on the bottom. He goes, here's these four rocks. And if I knock the bottom one down, look what happens to the pack. Yeah. Do you understand? No. Well, then just do your best, kid.
That's all you can do.
I've done everything I can. Yeah.
You literally do all you can. That's all you can do.
And that's a thing for anybody listening to this that doesn't have kids. Listen, being a parent is difficult, but it is also the best. It's very rewarding. And it's just as an example, when you see you and your kids and you see the influence you've had on them, and I know I've made a very similar reference to this already, but Stella and I were playing Fortnite. And we were getting quite a few kills, and I was up at the top of this one warehouse, and she's in there, and somebody comes in, turns the corner, sees us, and tries to slink away. And she yells out, "Don't be shy, come back," and chases him down and just shoots the crap out of him. She goes, "See, wasn't that fun?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, kid, I love you so much right now."
He's really sorry. So he said he'll never do it again.
Yeah, that's still our gag. They said they were sorry. They apologize. Yeah. Yeah. Mine right now is, "Did you get him?" "Yeah, but hold on, sweetie. I need to help this guy." They're crawling. You're just falling. I'm like, "I got to help him get up." Splat. Oh, man. I'm a humanitarian. Anyway. So what, is there anything else going on in like nerd town?
No, not really. Just streaming up like crazy. Lots of games coming along. I started playing this real quick. This weird PC only game called Brotato, which is like cost me like $3. Have you watched any streams recently of Randy? He's playing like a vampire or something or another.
No, I haven't.
It's like this overhead view where like you just keep basically just leveling up your guy over after round after round after round. And it's a very like, you know, easy rudimentary game, but like you keep adding, but when in Brotato, you keep adding weapons and abilities to each round. You do these things, you just run around basically in a circle, killing these guys. They get more and more difficult. It's surprising how quickly those little bullshit games just like tap into your, you know, to that mm-hmm. dopamine receptor. And you just keep going. You're like, "Oh yeah, next round. Oh, I got this one for sure." And then it's like, you're like, "Well, how did I even start playing this? How did I get here?" And then you're like, "I want to play another round now." Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, I plainly can't stop playing this game until I conquer it.
Yeah, and then but those games, there's literally no conquering, I don't think. I think it just gets harder and harder.
Oh, it's just endless, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. It might have an end, but I don't know what it is. I only got to level like 15.
Well, hopefully, you know, I'd like to stream more and stuff. Just, I'm off this week. Hopefully, I'll have time to like actually do some stuff. But
there you go.
Well, listen, kids, nobody got me a gaming PC for Christmas. Still waiting on those PS5s from Turbo. I don't know.
Plural?
Yeah, well, I need one for me, and Strut said he needs one too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I thought we had a deal.
Well, he's got the money. Like, that dude's just like Money Bags McGee out there in Australia.
So anyway, guys, we hope that you had the merriest of Christmases and the happiest of holidays. Thanks for listening to this show and putting up with our crap and listening to Who Got What. We really enjoy doing this and talking to you guys, and we appreciate that you appreciate it.
Yeah, and since we won't, you won't, this is our last episode of 2022, so preemptive Happy New Year, you filthy animals. And we look forward to speaking to you on the second, where you'll hear us on the fourth of 2023. And I'm excited to see what we do this next year. Maybe it's just having one episode in it and saying goodbye.
Yeah, that could be it. You never know, man. 307 could be... That's she wrote.
Maybe we'll find some conspiracy theory, like number related thing where like 307 is the perfect number to end on anything.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It could be. Mm-hmm. It could be. Well, listen, guys, while we're talking about that, you better go to patreon.com/thebadmotivators and get on that while it's hot. You also need to get that merch at TeePublic and Redbubble because it's getting ready to go up in value big time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to check out Cruiser streaming on Twitch. Check me out. All those links are in the show description. Follow the show on Twitter at @bad_motivators. And there's really nothing left to say except this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
The Bad Motivators.